All right, welcome in, folks, to the Can We Kick It podcast. I'm co-host Mike, along with Chuck here.
Rock and roll.
Too much rock for one hand.
Yeah. Really? Wait, you're supposed to do
Yeah,
this.
I got to do them down. Yeah, I got to do them down. Yeah. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. How you doing, bro?
Pretty good, man. Watching the Bengals and Cowboys shit out a nice Monday Night Football losing record. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm doing similar, but I'm watching the Simpsons version on Disney Plus. So
that makes it more entertaining for sure.
yeah. No, it's funny. Just quick aside on the Simpsons. It's a long story short, but our friend Bob sent a GIF from a Simpsons episode, and it was actually one of my favorite episodes. It's called Homer at the Bat. It's like season 3, episode 16 or something, and they play softball against another power company from, I think, Shelbyville, and
course.
They get all these ringers. Have you seen it?
No,
it's like the oh you gotta watch it the greatest. They have like Roger Clemens, Daryl Strawberry, Ozzie Smith, Jose Canseco, Steve Sachs, Mike Socha. So it's all these guests. I think it's one of their first kind of big guest star episodes. And they all work at the plant and become ringers for their company softball team. And Ken Griffey Jr. like gets his giant head from drinking this nerve tonic that Mr. Burns gives him. And that's what, like, but we watched that on my birthday last week because I'm like,
nice.
Or Bob sent us something on it. And then I was like, oh, that's some from my favorite Simpsons episode. But
that's awesome. I love when cartoons do that, when they like, cartoons have like baseball or softball leagues, and they always seem to hire like great baseball players as like temporary employees. Like King of the Hill did that, and they hired like Kurt Bevacqua to like be a leadoff batter. So funny. Yeah, man.
Yeah, we're enjoying some football, and you know, and then talking a lot of hockey these days.
Love hockey if the Rangers could pull it together. Yeah.
Yeah, they're having a rough one there. They were I don't know what happened with my phone, but they were losing.
Yeah, they're playing
2-1
the Hawks
earlier.
Yeah.
The
yeah, it was 2-1.
Blackhawks
they
were
traded.
Like 8-13, right? Oh, they lost 2-1.
2-1. Good God.
Blackhawks 9-17-2.
Yeah, they're gonna fire their GM by the end of the season, I got a feeling.
But yeah, after going to the Flyers game in Philly, my hockey love has been, I've literally just been watching hockey and playing NHL 90 or 95, NHL 95, NHL 20, 25 on PlayStation. But, and then trying to watch some shows, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hockey's good. Football season's almost over. So now we're gearing into some TV. I think we're going back to some of the older shows. You know, I think there's only really two shows kind of out right now that we're really devoted to watching. One being Silo, which is only on like episode 3 or 4.
Four, yeah. This week was 4. Last week was 4.
And then Shrinking has like 3 episodes left. It's like episode 9. You just started that one, but we'll get to that. And then you're rewatching Boardwalk Empire, right?
I'm rewatching Boardwalk Empire. I think on the finale of the 3rd season right now.
Nice.
And I've rewatched it, you know, I can't remember exactly when it came out. I think it was 2010. No, it's 5 seasons. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 2010, 5 seasons. I used to rewatch it every year because I go through phases every year where I get really into the history of the mafia in the US.
Yeah.
And so I watch a lot of documentaries, but I really like Boardwalk Empire. Steve Buscemi plays Nucky Thompson, based on a real guy, Nucky Johnson, in Atlantic City. And it's got Al Capone and Lucky Luciano, Meyer Lansky, Joe Mazzaria, Johnny Torrio. It's got all these real
who's the guy
Bugsy
that rigged
Siegel.
The World Series?
Ross AR
Oh,
Rothstein.
Rothstein or Rothschild or something like that.
It's
Yeah.
Rothstein. It's Arnold Rothstein. Arnold
Yeah,
Rothstein.
yeah.
Yeah.
I like his character. Yeah.
Oh, he's great. The guy actor who plays him is phenomenal. And then Michael Shannon
Oh, yeah.
plays
Van
a
Alden.
Prohi, Nelson Van Alden, and like just fantastic. Fantastic show. It just the rewatch holds up because I mean it's a period piece,
Oh,
so it's
yeah.
not like you know it's pretty timeless, I think, and it's such a good show. I mean, you got Chalky White, Omar from The Wire,
Yeah.
and just the acting is great.
Oh,
The
our guy,
Stephen
Ducky's
Root.
brother.
Oh yeah, you got yeah, Eli Thompson in the show,
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
who was in what was he in too? He was in
Love that guy.
he was the boyfriend in Vice Principals as well.
Shea Whigham, Shea Whigham.
Shay
Yeah,
Whigham, yeah.
love Shea Whigham. So good. And then, I think it's funny, like, thinking back to Boardwalk Empire, I think Van Alden's character arc may be my favorite of the show. I don't know, just something like him getting wrapped up with the Capones and then like how his like ending happens and
Working for Dino Banyan and
yeah.
and Dino
Yeah,
Banyan, all real, like all the all the gangsters are real people like in
yeah.
the show. So and that you know they take a little liberties with some of the stuff, but
Between
yeah,
him
it's
and
such
the sniper, the army guy with the half face,
yeah.
probably my two favorite characters, other than Steve Buscemi. I mean, the guy crushes it, but yeah.
Yeah, that Richard Harrow
Yeah.
is
Yeah.
the character's name. So good. And Stephen Root, who's in the third season playing Gaston Means. Stephen Root is always good from Barry and multiple other
Oh, yeah.
things. But yeah, a top-notch show, great rewatch because I mean I'm putting about one on a day and just can listen to it, can
Yeah,
watch it,
it's a good slow burn for a day watch, right? Because it's like an hour long episode and it's usually got enough like action in it. So yeah, I do enjoy rewatching that. I probably watched it twice back to back. So it's I'm probably due for a rewatch. Yeah. But
It's a highly I highly recommend. So
And I
and
just
you're
started watching The Sopranos, which, kind of ties into the whole mob thing. And I've only watched the first episode. I've only watched the first episode. So it's an interesting show. It's definitely dated, obviously. It's like early cell phone. Well, do they even have cell phones? Good Lord.
No, I don't think so.
1999? No, I
Or
guess not.
I mean the early things on the cell phones, kind of like Seinfeld
Yeah.
had the big bag cell phones in the car in that era,
Yeah.
maybe. And then I think I got my first cell phone in like 99, my senior year in college, and it was like a Nokia, and it had like I had like 50 minutes a month.
Good
You know,
Lord.
it was like for emergencies basically.
Oh, yeah.
So but
But yeah,
yeah, it's
the Sopranos is just like it's late 90s, early 2000s. Like Tony's going to therapy and this is my thing, like this show is 9 years, almost 10 years after Goodfellas, and the show is just every other character was in the movie Goodfellas. Like his therapist was Karen Hill. They talk about Henry. It's so meta almost. I don't like meta things, but I'm gonna watch it because I like it. But I see her and she's like Dr. Melfi, and I'm like all I can see here is like her and Henry Hill, Ray Liotta,
Well,
and then
Michael Imperioli played Spider
Spider. Yep.
and then the guy with the I forget I always forget his name, but he's in like every mafia movie and
Oh yeah.
TV show.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's such a it's a good that's also a good cast. That's you know, these are times when HBO was making, you know, such high quality stuff. And like I watched Sopranos once, like I binge watched it after I never watched it when it was on HBO, you know, Sunday nights or whatever.
Yeah.
I binge watched all 7 seasons, probably like I don't know, around 2010 or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
But
Just a few years
it's been a
after it ended.
while.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was good. Like I love, like I said, love gangster, love mafia stuff. I really enjoyed it. I wouldn't quite put it as my favorite, you know, show of all time, because I think I honestly this is where
Yeah.
you and I were talking before, because I think Boardwalk Empire is better. I've seen both of the series all the way through,
I could see that.
and but and I think maybe it might be my bias for that era of gangster from like the early 1900s to like the 1950s. And
Yeah.
then, you know, like the modern mafia is a little different, and even like with John Gotti and other stuff. But like, you know, going back, you know, maybe from the early 1900s to the 1970s, is a different era. And then nowadays with the mafia, so maybe I don't know, maybe I'm just partial to
Well,
that era of
does mafia, right? Like, does the 90s mafia lose out to the lore of like, and talking like New York mafia, right? Does it lose out to like 90s, early 2000s Boston mafia? Because when I think like early 2000s, it's a like 07, we're talking The Departed.
Yeah, well, I think you think of that. I think you think of the Departed, and you think of that. You think of Whitey Bulger.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
mean, the
yeah.
Boston Mafia is a, but I think the Boston Mafia is almost like in the newer is a little different. You know, like I
Yeah.
think when you had the early 1900s, you had like, you know, the five families in New York, and you also had Chicago and how they would kind of, you know, in New York they had the commission, you know, a whole governing body for
Yeah.
organized crime across the country. And that Luciano and Meyer Lansky you know, put together, and they, you know, how they could kind of it was almost run like a corporation, you know. I think it was just how
Almost.
they kind of almost. I mean, there's still, you know, I mean, it still fell apart, and you know, you
Yeah.
still had, you know, people moving on other people and the hits and everything like that. But yeah, I think they, especially when you get like into like with Rothstein, and you had, you
Yeah.
know, you had more. I mean, this was Boston. I mean, Boston's somewhere too. You had more like, yeah, the Irish, you had the Jewish, you had the Italians. You know, they didn't cross too much. What made kind of a little bit change was Luciano working with Lansky, instead of Joe Masseria, working with Lansky and Rothstein,
Yeah.
because usually the Italians didn't, you know, cross into other crime families. But so I think it's just the history is it kind of set the stage in the US for organized crime, or it brought it to life and
Yeah.
romanticized it maybe. And I
Yeah.
think also you had the period of prohibition where it just made it
True.
more prevalent.
It romanticized
And
it. Yeah.
yeah, and it was really great, as there's in season three of Boardwalk Empire, Andrew Mellon is played by James Cromwell, and he's like basically calls prohibition like a forced fake morality
Yeah.
play. Like,
Yeah.
you know, it's just like think about this time, like, and you think about it with like weed and other things nowadays that are kind of legal, but were not legal before. And how, like, there was a period where you couldn't buy alcohol legally in the US. And, but guess what? People still found ways to, it just opened it up for a criminal empire. Just like if you think like
Exactly.
marijuana, right? Tons of people smoked weed, and they're getting it legally from,
Just because it's not on the shelf
planes
doesn't
and
mean it's not
ships
for
and
sale.
So it's a very interesting study and like people's vices and the criminality that when you make something illegal, there's still a demand for it. And people are gonna, it's gonna create an alternative sourcing strategy, which is illegal and run by criminals versus, other means. But sometimes they run it better, more cost efficient.
Well, then it used to be much more brutal, I think, like in terms of like the amount of force used. Because think back, like early 1900s, they would just wipe a whole crew out, and fingerprints and all that stuff. So they'd be like, "Oh, it's probably the mafia," and they just like write it off, right? Whereas like today, it's like, "Oh, like poor guy, like some CEO gets shot in the back of the head." It's all they're all. All these corporations are just mafia too, man. I'm getting into the weeds now, but like it's the same shit. It's just a different level.
Exactly. And I think that's why if you would ask, the mafia, they're just basically providing a service for profit, just like any business and any consumer goods manufacturer does.
And
So
that's what I liked about Boardwalk Empire is like even like the government people who enacted prohibition were on the take. Like they were
Well,
getting their
that's
10%. Like they don't care.
and the whole I don't and think this was maybe made up for the show, but like Nucky Thompson turns in George Remus, who was actually the biggest bootlegger in the world in the US, and exchange Mellon has him run the Overholt distillery in Pennsylvania that he owns. So it's like what he would never contact him again, and he'll never, there's no connection there. So it's, but it's just like everybody has their, and it's just like today in modern politics with, buying stock and having accessibility to, as people in politics, inside information and be able to make money off of their power and position. I mean, that's as old as time, within politics. But so it's good. I think it highlights. I don't think you get so deep with the Sopranos, and it's not based off of real history and stuff. So, but Sopranos is good. It's more like I would say it's more like a dramedy, but based in a mafia kind of family,
Struggling with, wanting to stay in power, trying to retain the power, trying to keep your family together and all that kind of stuff. Now, we were talking earlier about how we like Philip Seymour Hoffman. I would love to have seen Philip Seymour Hoffman recast as Tony Soprano. Just two
You could
big
be
guys just
like,
going at it.
make him
But
Big
yeah,
Pussy or one of the other characters.
little pussy or big pussy. God, that show's great. So I'll keep watching that. I'll let you know how I keep going through that. And then, you started watching Shrinking, yeah? You watched the first episode. And what were your initial thoughts? You liked it, right?
I thought it was great. I was a little like, I really like, I kind of went through this when we watched the first season of Shrinking. It was just something kind of was, it was like, I watched a lot of shows last year on Apple TV that were just like, oh, like The Big Door Prize and Shrinking and that, and a bunch of, and I can name more, but that I didn't know anything about. I just saw it on there. I'm like, okay. And then Shrinking turned into a phenomenon. And I really didn't like the first, I mean, it was good, but like the first half of the season
It was fair.
was in it was average, I guess, for me. And then by the end, it was great. And I think as Harrison Ford I think he kind of overtook the show and his relationship with his daughter and then the doctor and then just being funny as hell.
Yeah, him getting stoned at Brian's engagement party, like at the end of the first, like, yeah, he stole every scene that he was in, and it's like, okay, they figured that character out. Yeah.
But it is interesting, like, and so season two so far in the first episode, like, there's a shocker at the end that we'll talk about, but it's interesting to see. I mean, because you see this in real life, but like, and I don't know why I'm blanking on his name, but the main character,
Jason Segel, yeah.
Jason Segel, is like, he falls back and something triggers him and he falls back into the same patterns as before. And his daughter called him out for doing that. And then when he's triggered and he falls back into the same pattern, he doesn't realize it. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, well, he should realize that he's a psychiatrist or a psychologist or whatever he is.
Yeah.
But then I think about people in real life that get triggered by events, and even if they have coping mechanisms to deal with it or experts, then they still can't handle it. Like,
Right.
there's always just some kind of trigger. So, like, but it's really like, I have a hard time watching it. Not because it's good, but or not because it's bad, but because it's good. And like, I have to be in a mood to go through like a kind of mental or grief or that kind of experience, even when there's comedy. Because like, I mean, like, The Leftovers is one of my favorite shows, and I would watch an episode of that a day, but I can't because mentally I could
No.
not deal with like
You were talking about
the
dread.
grief and the dimension.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, like Somebody Somewhere, which is one of my favorite shows, and the finale was Sunday, which we're a few episodes behind. But and it's the sweetest show, and Bridget Evers, I think is her name, that plays the main character, is like phenomenal, funny as shit. It's such a great series. But like, I also have to be in the mood to watch that because some of it's like a little depressing because
Yeah.
Bridget Everett. It's just so like, it's because it's about people, right? So we
Yeah.
can watch, you watch Boardwalk Empire, it's like, oh, 20s gangsters, you know what it's about. You can watch Penguin, it's like, a comic book mafia story. You can watch Game of Thrones and it's like, fantasy.
It's not terribly relatable to real life. Yeah.
But when you watch these relatable shows like Shrinking, and it I think it just Bill Lawrence is a master at this, because he did it with Scrubs and he did it with Ted Lasso, and he does it with Shrinking. So it's hard sometimes because I have to be like right in the mood to watch that. And I watched the first episode of Shrinking because I'm like, I gotta watch one to get going. And I watched it in the end of it, Roy Kent, or what's the actor's name?
Brett Goldstein.
Brett Goldstein shows up in Jason Segel's office and he was like the drunk driver that killed his wife. And I'm like, I can't. I can't watch another one. I can't go through this now. Like, but it's such a phenomenal show. And when we talk about Silo next, I can watch that because it's not relatable to me. And
Whatsoever.
I can,
Yeah.
so
Yeah,
it's.
Shrinking is good, but it's a show that requires like emotions, right? Like you get hooked into it and then you're like feeling bad for these people, but yeah, Brett Goldstein shows up and like you said, he's the drunk driver who killed like Jason Segel's wife, and like his character, pops in and out of the show as it goes on. Like you'll see if you keep watching, but it got to the point where like we were putting it off on watching it. And then we finally sat down to watch it, and now we can't like wait for it to come out on Wednesdays. And so it's so good. So yeah, recommend anybody to watch that for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think I just got to get like, I got to get like really happy, and I need something to bring me back down.
Yeah, level you out. Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
I mean, I get, like Ted Lasso was a little bit like that, and Scrubs was a little bit like that, because there was always some kind of thing at the hospital. And the Brendan Fraser episode of that of Scrubs was like one of the best episodes of network TV. And it's just, yeah, I have to, sometimes I have to be in the mood, because it's easier for me to like, I'm gonna go watch an episode of Boardwalk Empire because I can just immerse myself in that world, and I've seen it before, and I know it's gonna happen. And then be mentally prepared for something I don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, you're not
But
emotionally surprised at all. Yeah.
yeah, sometimes I want to be in my feelings, and sometimes I
Yeah.
don't. So
So, and sometimes we like to lock ourselves into a silo, like Silo or Solo.
yeah, we could be solo in a silo for so many years, and then all of a sudden Juliet Lives comes along, and totally fucks up our vault, our love for a vault.
It's
So
Silo's just now getting interesting to me.
yeah,
It's what
first
the
four episodes a little slow burn, but I think this one kind of, it starts to take off, I think, hopefully.
especially at the end. Yeah. So we didn't talk about last week's, but it kind of blends in, right? Because she Juliet's in the other silo, and she finally gets Solo to come out of his vault and do all of that. Took her 3 episodes to do that. And then this episode, right, is about them trying to keep the revolt from happening in the original silo, and Juliet's trying to get back, and she's having to go underwater to get a fireman's, outfit, and Tim Robbins is like the master puppeteer trying to play this whole thing, and I'm finally glad that he's finally got his scapegoats. He's got the next to put in the guillotine now to hold Mechanical, as the culprit, because apparently every rebellion in the silo has always been blamed on Mechanical. So now he's got it pinned on them for supposedly killing the head judge, right? Which is crazy. I say it's crazy. I kind of saw that coming when he was like, "Oh, you should come on over for dinner. I got your suit over here." And it's just like, yeah, he's going to push you down the stairs or something.
Well, and then I knew as soon as the mayor came out and said, she's not feeling, or Tim Robbins came out and said she's not feeling well, and then he's like, we're not leaving or whatever till we can see him, and then he's like, okay, or they drop the red ball and turn off the lights, and then the green ball to turn it back on. I'm like, he's gonna set them up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and he did. And then, you know what? Like, Common, I just don't, I like Common as a rapper and stuff, but I just don't, when he at the very end is go getting the upper middle class riled up about Mechanical,
Yeah.
I it did I that doesn't like him
It
getting
didn't
them
do it for
hyped
him.
up.
No.
No, I'm like, this is, they're like, I would be one of the those people going, wait, something seems fishy here.
It
Like,
doesn't add up.
yeah, but yeah, it's interesting that you get more like, I think the order, so we see the book,
Yeah.
we see the order and how they maintain, the serenity of, not serenity, but the functionality of the
Symbiosis.
silo.
Yeah.
And it basically, and it's, to me, it's interesting because I think, Mechanical, so hear me out for a second. Everything is to blame Mechanical. Mechanical basically runs everything. Everything down below runs the whole silo. So they know the ins and outs of this. They drop the fucking red ball a million feet down and they turn off the power. Why not? Wouldn't their plan be like, hey, we're going to plan for all these scenarios. If we're fucked again, I've got another red ball. Turn off the power. Get into your fighting positions and make them come down to you, and and build fucking weapons. Like, they get all the shit down there. Like, I do. Like, you have countries like it's Syria right now. Like, rebels go in, and like now the head of Syria is like flying to another country, and like a rebel government takeover. But like, these people in mechanical are only people that do stuff in the silo. Like, take the trash out and like recycle things and keep the lights on and whatever. They should be wrecking shop. Like, now we see in the other silo from the first episode, they overthrew and they all went outside, and then, but it destroyed the whole silo. So I don't know. I guess it goes back to the kind of, it's like classism, but it's like, here, blame the poor people. The rich people are gonna put, the upper class and, class war against the poors, and so I mean
That's the
it's
ultimate tool of the silo is in order to restore order, disorder has to take place. But in
yeah.
order to have disorder, you have to have an enemy. And it's easier to do it with mechanical because they don't control IT.
Yeah, that's true. So what is I mean, IT, so I know they have cameras everywhere, and but Juliet, they just down below, they just she told them about the cameras, and everybody was taking the cameras out. So what else does IT do? I mean, besides like put the screens up on the outside and put like the VR glasses on in the spacesuit, and Tim Robbins have been hoarding fucking Costa Rican surf
VR goggles.
VR goggles,
So much so that
in
he can
this.
tell you what happens without having them on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the show does a disservice to IT because in the books they're far more powerful
Yeah.
than the show was projecting them to be. Now there's some things that will probably come out by the end of the season that they're strong. They have weapons. IT does. For
Yeah.
what it mechanical is led by weak people for the most part because like somebody went to somebody and was like, "Hey, don't make any weapons if anybody asks you." And it's like, why don't you stay out of it? Like,
Yeah. Yeah.
but it's just an interesting show that has to deal with class and trying to stay in control, right? And the
Yeah.
judge had like little to no part in the book, so they wrote her up big in the show, and then for her
Well, in
to die,
the first season, she didn't have.
no.
It's just second season became like, and then as soon as she starts getting more involved, then she
And
dies.
listening and
But
wanting to go outside and all of the and Tim Robbins is like, yeah, it's not gonna like, he doesn't tell her up front, but he's like, yeah, it's not gonna
yeah.
happen. Like you're gonna die. And for me, I agree, like Common is a completely underutilized part in the show. Because for me, if you want to give that speech about justice and they killed the judge and all that stuff, they should have shot it like Wolf of Wall Street, where Leo DiCaprio is giving his sales speech on the trading floor about being telephone terrorists. You got to be like up in their face and like screaming at people. That's how you got to present it. Because to me, he was like giving it between like the army and the citizens. And I'm just like, who am I going to believe here? Like, this dude looks like fucking dictator.
Yeah, he needs some Jordan Belfort
Get
fucking
some coke
energy.
energy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it just almost like, the problem with Common's character is like, I can't tell if he's like toeing the line between feeling bad for what he's doing as Tim Robbins, judicial hammer, or like if he likes doing it, because
Yeah.
I can't tell, because he's not, his acting isn't good enough to give me
No.
like what he's feeling.
Yeah, it's like, okay, is he really agree with Bernard? Is he really out for the silo? Or is he really out for himself? Because doing the whole impeach the judge thing was to get back on Bernard's side. And it's like, I just don't know what his character's like aspirations are. Does he want to take over control of the silo? Does he want to be the head of IT? Because he was a shadow, but he lost that position. So like,
Because he went and saw his kids or something, like
yeah.
it just,
It sounds to me like the head judge position is open. I would angle for that job.
there's a vacancy.
Yeah.
There, no one's
So.
going to nominate Juliet because she's in the other silo.
Exactly. Who else are they going to put in the head judge spot? Nobody. Yeah.
That's interesting to see if there is one, and if it, you said it's not a prevalent character in the book, right?
Yeah. It's not that I've, in the first two books, not that I've gotten to yet, but. You know, for them to, and then you've got the sheriff who's like doing his own investigation, and he's like on the cusp of finding out that it's a conspiracy, which obviously that dude's going to either die or it's going to get lost in the flames of war, and nobody's going to give a shit. He's definitely going to be too late. I have a feeling.
I mean, you don't have, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, this is a different world, but I mean, you don't have to be a fucking genius to see that this is a conspiracy.
Something doesn't add up. Yeah.
But
But I'm looking forward to, you know, how they are gonna bridge the gap to the books, because I think I'm sure by the end of the season, we still got what, 8 episodes left, 6 episodes left? That's a long time.
yeah, because it's 10 episodes, right?
Yeah. So Julia gets back, and then assuming, right? I think that's what we all assume is gonna happen. Then what? I don't know where they take it from there. She becomes that, she leads a silo, and then what?
What, so where do you think we're gonna get in this season? Like, I mean, like, Joy, do you think Juliet makes it back to the other silo?
I think by the end of the season, she does. And either she's about to take over from Bernard, and either he voluntarily goes out to clean, or they kill him by making him go out to clean.
Who, Bernard?
Yeah.
You
Like
think
whether or
Tim
not she's
Robbins is
there or
only going to
not,
be one season?
I think he's ultimately gonna like that will probably be the end of it. Well, him being like him is walking out and being and doing the cleaning, and he like dies like everybody else. But there will be one more big reveal, I think, that they're building up to, and I don't want to give it away yet.
Is it in the first book?
Oh yeah. And there are hints of it in the show. Like Bernard's in the server room, and he's got that key that says 18 that lights up and all that shit. All of those are little hints for something else. That will be the big reveal. So,
Well, and it's interesting because like Silo or Solo, right, was a shadow
yeah,
for the other silo,
right.
and he knows the existence of the other silos, and you know, talking to Juliet, hey, you came from this one or this one or this one, these are the closest one. And so I mean, I think everybody in, well, at least the head of IT and the shadow and the mayor, or the mayor and the judge, everybody will know, because Bernard is the mayor and the head of IT now.
Yeah, he's the very fortunate one of being the only one to ever be IT head and mayor.
But is he doing dual hatting?
Yeah.
Because initially the mayor was the lady, and the guy that the other famous actor that was a sheriff for a while.
Yeah,
Then they
he's
kind of liked each other.
Yeah, they don't have anybody to nominate for mayor. Right, so Bernard just takes it over in order to maintain control, right?
I'm the
But
mayor and the head of IT.
yeah, and so
Dictator for life.
we know there are other silos, And we've questioned whether or not they're connected.
Yeah.
How do we know that there's not somebody that Bernard answers to?
Yeah. I mean, I could see that. And there's got to be some kind of like, I'm just trying to think of like, is there some kind of board of directors, you know, like just thinking about the board in Severance that's unseen,
Yeah.
like someone
Fallout
that's in
style
charge.
almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone that's in charge of all the silos that the head of IT reports to. And they have, you know, communication with somehow. And I'm sure, like, you know, we talked about, I think there's some interconnectivity that could possibly be underground, under the water, and tunnels and different things like that. So, but we'll see. I need to start reading the books again. I read, like, I think about the first 50 pages of Wool. I think that's the first one. So,
Worst
I
case,
need to
you
get
can still
back
do
to
the
that.
audiobooks. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to blast through
I
it
don't
as
know.
you
I
go.
can't do audiobooks.
Oh, man.
Maybe I'm back to running like 5 miles again at a time. So that'd be a nice, I should do that. It's 50 minutes.
Yeah, you could knock
You
that
know.
out in a week easily. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just started re-listening to Three Body Problem.
Ah.
I've done some research on the books about things that happen later in the books, and it's
Yeah.
really science fictionally fascinating, like right up our alley.
Nice.
Yeah.
Perfect.
There's a lot to get through in Silo. I don't know how far they'll take. If they're going to try to do 4 seasons, from what I've read, we're only halfway. I think they could do it. I just don't know
Yeah.
that they're going to be able to do everything in the book because there's a lot. But it's great. It's getting better. This season is getting better. And I'm going to stick with it,
Yeah.
obviously. But I think we'll see something along the lines of Juliet getting back to the other silo, and Bernard doesn't make it to next season.
Yeah, I'm guessing that it's got to be the first book's got to be the first and second season, and then the second book will be the third, and the third book will be the fourth
Yeah,
if they're going to do
the
four
second book
seasons.
Shift is it blows the lid off of everything. Yeah.
All right, yeah, I got to get to reading because I don't know if I can wait, like, because who knows, especially, you know, if it's just thinking of Severance, if how popular now silos become, do they start fucking overthinking everything
Right.
and spending so much time and rewriting and doing whatever it did to take so long with Silo? I mean,
Severance. Yeah. Let's hope they don't get too ahead, like we're afraid that Severance may get too in their heads about it, too meta,
Yeah.
too over the top. But we'll talk about Silo next week some more. But we did watch the trailer for Severance. That dropped like 2 days ago, and
Yeah.
it's insane.
Bonkers. Yeah.
We get to see
Yeah.
more of the
That
goat room and hills, and Mark makes an attempt to talk to the board and gets busted by Melchek. Like, dude, I can't wait. We're like 30 days out.
Yeah, I'm gonna start probably the week after Christmas, start a rewatch of season one to
Let's do
prep.
that.
Yeah. We should put the schedule together leading right up to the day,
Yeah.
January 17th. So let's do
Yeah.
that.
I think we can make it happen. I think we could.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
yeah, so if you guys haven't checked that out, we'll post it on Instagram. But the trailer for Severance Season 2 is out. Tune in, next week. I don't know, Chuck, if you have anything else you want to talk about.
No, I'm good, bruh.
Cool. Well, yeah, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thanks for kicking it with us. Check out the Instagram, the website, the, podcast platforms. Tune in next week, and as Cousin likes to say,
Mahalo.